Guidance system enabled.
5.
The Vast Wasteland.
4.
The show about nothing and everything.
3.
Life support systems online.
2.
Security code accepted. Red 1, you are clear for takeoff.
Hang on to your chair. We are about to desecrate everything that is good and decent. Ooh, I am your father.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Transformation complete.
The Vast Wasteland. Get some.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Vast Wasteland this evening. Now, 2008 is, of course, an election year, so on tonight's show, you're going to hear us poking a little fun at politicians. Somehow, I doubt very many people are going to be broken up about that, which is good, because we're all about that. We're going to be poking a little fun. Also, you're going to get a chance to hear a little bit from Congressman Bob. Tonight, you'll just hear a little blurb from him, but you'll be hearing a lot more from him as time goes on during this year. Again, we're out to make as much mileage as we can out of the election year. And thank goodness politicians tend to be such dopes that they provide all kinds of fodder. So, without further ado, what we're going to do first, and I know you've heard them before, but we have a lot of what we call Bushisms. Bushisms are those things that President Bush is notorious for saying, and afterwards, whether or not he realized it, the media reports it, and we all get a big old laugh at President Bush's expense. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to play those again for you tonight. Along with that, I'm also going to kind of read off a list of the top 10 gaffes that have come from President Bush. So, you know, in case President Bush would happen to be listening, which would surprise me big time, you know, we're laughing with you, not at you. Well, then again, well, let's hear some Bushisms to get things kicked off.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
You want to be blunt about what has taken place? Sometimes when you don't measure, you just shuffle kids through. Then you wake up at the high school level and find out that the literacy level of our children are appalling.
I think the only thing funnier than what he's saying there is the fact that he sounds so passionate about it as he says it. Okay, what we're going to do next is I'm going to read off a list of the top 10 Bushisms. You can find these online, by the way. These Bushisms are at about.com. What this list is, it's a list that starts from 10 and works its way to 1. I'm going to read it exactly in the list that I'm reading it from, that I see it on the screen. And also, one thing to bear in mind is that I'm going to be reading it exactly as the text is laid out. That means that you might hear strangely pronounced words, possibly. You might hear bad sentence structure, bad grammar. It isn't because I don't know how to read it. It's because what I'm reading to you and what you're going to hear is me reading it exactly as it was transcribed from what Bush said. Okay, let's start with number 10. It's totally wiped out. It's devastating. It's got to be doubly devastating on the ground. Now, that was President Bush making a comment when he was surveying Hurricane Katrina flood damage. Okay, number 9. I'm occasionally reading, I want you to know, in the second term. You might have to think about that one for a moment, but you'll get it. Number 8. This notion that the United States is getting ready to attack Iran is simply ridiculous. And having said that, all options are on the table. Number 7. I'm going to spend a lot of time on Social Security. I enjoy it. I enjoy taking on the issue. I guess it's the mother in me. Okay, that one's downright scary. Okay, number 6. Because the all which is on the table begins to address the big cost drivers. For example, how benefits are calculate, for example, is on the table, whether or not benefits rise based upon wage increases or price increases. There's a series of parts of the formula that are being considered. Wow, that's the first complete sentence in that. Okay, and this is number 6 continued. And when you couple that, these different cost drivers affecting those, changing those with personal accounts, the idea is to get what has been promised more likely to be or closer delivered to what has been promised. Does that make any sense to you? It's kind of muddled. Okay, that was Bush explaining his plan to save Social Security. That was back in 2005. If that made any sense to you, kudos to you. Let us know exactly what that means, because honestly, reading that, there were probably 2 complete sentences that actually made any kind of sense. But that's just my humble opinion. Okay, let's go to number 5. I think I might need a bathroom break. Is this possible? That was what Bush wrote in a note to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice during a National Security Council meeting. Number 4. We've got a lot of rebuilding to do. First, we're going to save lives and stabilize the situation. And then we're going to help those communities rebuild. The good news is, and it's hard for some to see it now, that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast, like it was before. Out of the rubbles of Trent Lott's house. He's lost his entire house. There's going to be a fantastic house. And I'm looking forward to sitting on the porch. Mm-hmm. Okay, again, if that makes any sense to you, you're a better person than me. Number 3. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda. Okay, number 2. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Now, that was Bush talking to FEMA Director Michael Brown. You might remember that was all over the news at the time. And then a few days later, Michael Brown resigned because of all the criticism he was getting about how he was handling things. Okay, and that brings us to number 1. You work 3 jobs? Uniquely American, isn't it? I mean, that is fantastic that you're doing that. Now, that's something that Bush said to a divorced mother of 3. Also back in 2005. So those are the top 10. I'm sure there are more. Those are the top 10 Bushisms, according to About.com.
The Vast Wasteland will return in a moment.
He failed with amazing stories. He failed with Family Dog. Well, now Steven Spielberg dares to fail again with his greatest TV fiasco ever, Wet Truck.
I got it. I'll do Star Trek underwater. Yeah, that's it.
Wet Trek, starring Roy Scheider as the burned-out captain who returns to get burned out again.
My God, look at the ocean floor.
Sure.
It's scarred beyond belief.
Sure.
Oh, the destruction.
Sir, that's a mirror. The monitor's over here.
No.
Wet Trek, complete with a talking dolphin instead of a Vulcan, a teen computer expert instead of Scotty, and an aging babe in a lab coat instead of Bones, acting as the moral conscience of the ship.
Damn it, I'm a doctor, not DeForest Kelly.
Wet Trek, another overblown special effects showcase for people who used to make money doing movies.
I'm Roy Scheider. What happened to me? I was a star, for Pete's sakes.
Wet Trek, it's like nothing else you've ever seen, unless you've been watching Star Trek for the past 25 years.
No, this is a nice idea. Okay, I had an idea of Mr. Whipple saying, I see someone squeezing the Charmin. I'll go over there and give them a piece of my mind. Please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Whoever squeezes the Charmin will be caught by the Whipple early warning system. I'll just hide. There's the alarm. Excuse me, madam. You're not supposed to squeeze the shop. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. The long hair fooled me.
Oh, what do you get your kicks out of talking to ladies about toilet paper?
Oh, excuse me, madam.
Hey, here, Ted. Ted, you want to step over here a second? I got some fruit bar here. Gets his kicks out of talking to ladies about toilet paper.
No,
you want to hold his arms behind his back there?
I didn't mean anything.
Okay. Listen, after we're done with you, fella, we're going to squeeze your mop and glow. We're going to squeeze your Frankenberry and your yard guard. We're going to squeeze your roasting bone. That's right. This is your special K. And then we're going to squeeze your...
Hey, this is Jay Donnelly from MadPod.com. What would you do if the GoDaddy girl gave you her phone number? Let's see.
You know, I met the GoDaddy girl out, and she gave me her phone number. So, time's ticking, so I'll give the GoDaddy girl a call.
I'm sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
What the hell? Maybe I dialed it wrong. Let's dial again. Okay, GoDaddy girl, here we go.
Hello?
Ah, it's a guy! Okay, maybe I wrote it down wrong. Let's try it again. Here we go. Hello.
The number you have dialed
yeah?
has been changed.
Okay, what's it?
The new number is...
What is it?
Get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Get a piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And as a MadPod listener, enter code MP3 to get your discount.
You seem to be encountering some...
The show about nothing and everything.
Yay! We'll do whatever it takes.
Kid tested, mother disproved. The Vast Wasteland. Get some.
I was under the influence.
The following conversation is real. It took place on Tuesday, June 8th of 2004 between a Blonde Star advisor and a subscriber.
Blonde Star, emergency. This is Steve. Is there an emergency in your vehicle?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've locked myself in my car and the keys are on the outside.
Ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am, I need you to calm down.
Okay. It's just that the windows are rolled up and I'm starting to sweat. My keys are on the outside.
Now, your keys are on the outside of the vehicle?
Yes, oh my God.
Now, does your car have automatic locks or...
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Here's what I need you to do. Take hold of the inside of your door handle there. Are you doing this? The shiny thing. Grab the shiny thing.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, now give that a tug.
Okay.
Did it open?
Yes, oh my God, thank you.
Okay, now what is that noise?
Oh, that's my door alarm.
Yeah, but that only happens if the keys are in the ignition, hun.
Oh my God, you know what?
Your keys are actually in your ignition.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Blonde Star.
That's why we're here. Do you need anything else?
Blonde Star.
No, that's
always
it.
On. Because you're always blonde.
Yep, everybody likes that Blonde Star, so we thought we'd throw that one in for you. Okay, next on deck is going to be an interview that we had played sometime back. This is something, of course, that was put together. It was a bit, but it's an interview with George Bush, purportedly. It actually uses the actual audio, you know, actual things taken out of context, but, you know, it's a bit. But it got such a really good... response when we first aired it. We thought we'd put it in here, especially since, you know, we are taking some jabs at politicians this election year. Enjoy.
This is your World News Bulletin from breakfornews.com. It's Wednesday, the 7th of July at 7 a.m. Eastern. And we're pleased to bring you a special interview recorded with President George Bush during his recent trip to Ireland. I'll be back later today with our regular news broadcast on breakfornews.com. Meanwhile, enjoy the interview. This is Fintan Dunn for breakfornews.com, and I'm here with President George W. Bush on the occasion of his visit to Ireland to meet with EU leaders. And can I say how much I appreciate your taking the time tonight to give us this interview, especially considering the wild Irish night of carousing and drinking we've just had. And tell me, can all the people in Texas hold their liquor as good as this?
I'm sure they are. I don't know.
You're ruining our reputation. I know you had what was regarded as a challenging interview with another Irish journalist, Carol Coleman, from the Irish National Broadcaster just before you left Washington. And so I'm grateful to you also for giving another Irish journalist an interview.
You're welcome.
Okay. Can I start, Mr. President, by asking...
It'd be better if you let me finish my answers, and then you can follow up if you don't mind.
But I haven't even put the question.
Let me finish.
I haven't even asked the question.
Please for a minute, okay?
I don't think this is going to work. Could somebody take that bottle off him? Because we're not going to make it. Thanks. No, we'll edit out that stuff about the drinking. We'll start recording again. This is Fintan Dunn of breakfornews.com, and I'm here with President George W. Bush. Mr. President, how does it feel to be one of the most reviled leaders on the world stage, regarded by many as either a pawn of the neocons, a tool of Israel, a puppet of the New World Order, and a pressing threat to world security? It doesn't seem like you're doing a very good job, does it?
My job is to do my job. And I'm willing to kill innocent people, to slaughter innocent people to stop the advance of freedom.
Well, if that's your real objective, Mr. President, you're doing a very good job.
Listen, there's no more dangerous country on the face of the earth than the United States of America when it comes to freedom. And so the free world has to make a choice. Do we cower in the face of terror, or do we lead in the face of terror?
It's no wonder, with respect, Mr. President, that you are so popular with the fanatics, whether they're Sharon and his Zionist fanatics or the Christian apocalyptic fanatics in the United States.
But I'm the kind of person I try to chase popular polls, popularity polls.
Well, it hasn't made you very popular abroad. You'll certainly agree that you're pretty isolated now.
America's not in this alone. One of our greatest allies of all in the world is your neighbor, Great Britain. Tony Blair's been a strong advocate for battling freedom, for which I am grateful.
What about the Iraqi people, Mr. President? Tens of thousands dead or wounded, thousands more abused in prison, economy destroyed, country destroyed. What have you got to offer them?
Let's dash the hopes and ambitions of the people of Iraq. Let's let the Iraqis suffer more.
Can't you appreciate the depth of international anger over the abuse in Abu Ghraib? Is this what America represents, Mr. President? Torture, brutality?
Listen, I hope people understand the great values of our country.
Torture?
But they must not understand if they're angry over Abu Ghraib. This is what America represents.
Represents brutality.
Please, you ask the questions and I'll answer them if you don't mind.
Because then you can just reel off prepared propaganda without being challenged on it. But
may I finish?
Please do go on.
We're going to work with the people of Iraq. And I'm most proud of this fella, Prime Minister Alawi. He's strong and he's tough. He says to me, Mr. President, don't leave our country. Help us secure our country so we can be free.
Well, of course that's what he's going to say, Mr. President. Alawi is CIA. He's going to say exactly what he's told to say and do exactly what he's told to do.
Please, for a minute. Okay.
I mean, it was just the same with Saddam, the previous CIA stooge. He attacked Iran when you told him to, invaded Kuwait when you told him to. Presumably, that's why he's now in some retirement home while that double of his is put on trial down in Baghdad.
Yes, I can turn to my friend Saddam Hussein and say, thank you. Thanks for helping. And I appreciate it very much.
Perhaps you'll be just as frank in replying to this. What kind of a country is George Bush's America?
We're a compassionate country. We're a strong country. We'll defend ourselves, but we help people. Let me say one other thing about America, is that not only are we working hard to eradicate security and peace, we're also working to promote famine and disease. When it comes to HIV/AIDS, as a matter of fact.
And who put you up to that?
May I finish?
The pharmaceutical company.
My initiative that asked Congress to spend $15 billion over 5 years to battle this pandemic. And we're following through on it. And no other country in the world feeds more of the hungry than the United States. And so we're a compassionate nation.
Well, the pharmaceutical corporates are one of your largest election chest donors. It's hardly compassion to help them dump their more ineffective drugs on the third world, is it? But the 9/11 attack, nobody buys that they were conducted by Al-Qaeda.
Right.
So you must be aware they're about to make you the fall guy for 9/11, Iraq and everything else.
Right.
Why do you think they set you up with Abu Ghraib?
Yeah.
Why is there suddenly a Michael Moore move?
I don't know.
So let's cut to the chase, Mr. President. The 9/11 attacks were no unprovoked attack by Al-Qaeda. They were an inside job, weren't they?
Yeah.
So what's the big secret?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
Try me.
On September the 11th, 2001, everybody thought we were attacked in unprovoked fashion.
Exactly, and no one buys that line.
Oh gosh, the terrorist attack.
Oh yeah, Al-Qaeda are coming to get us, but there was no air response because Rumi never gave the go order.
Right.
So whose interest was this in?
I believe it's in Israel's interest.
And in the interests of the G8 countries and the military-industrial complex. You know, Kennedy's probably the most famous American president. There's every chance you could end up being the most infamous one.
History will judge what I'm about.
Are you proud of your role?
I'm the first American president to have used weapons of mass destruction against his own people, against the neighborhood. The first one to do so. A brutal dictator.
And those maniacs running around pretending to be Al-Qaeda, they've pulled off other operations since 9/11, haven't they?
Bombings since then. Bombings in Madrid. Bombings in Istanbul. Bombings in Bali. Killings in Pakistan.
Yes, they have been busy, haven't they? But I do think the truth is coming out, despite John Ashcroft's state secrets gag order against Sybelle Edmonds. But finally, can I ask you, Mr. President, what's your current relationship with God?
The God I know is not one that... the God I know is one that said, disclose, disarm, or face serious consequences. We just had a difference of opinion about when you say something, do you mean it? He's dangerous.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. That sort of confirms things for me. For BreakForNews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn with President Bush in Ireland. This has been a Break for News presentation compiled from actual recordings of interviews with President Bush. Any resemblance to real persons or events is entirely coincidental. A note to webmasters, feel free to rebroadcast or retransmit this on your websites or on radio shows. Just notify us that you're doing so at fintan@breakfornews.com. That's F-I-N-T-A-N @breakfornews.com. And if you have facilities to host the MP3, that would be just great due to our limited bandwidth here on Break for News. I'll be back later today with our regular net broadcast inside track on world news here on breakfornews.com. And I do hope you can take the time to join me then. For breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.
I expect we'll have that one in our library for some time to come. Okay, now the time you've been waiting for, it's time to introduce you to Congressman Bob. Now, what you're going to hear tonight is just a quick blurb. As time goes on during this election year, you'll hear more from him. But this just gives you an idea so that, you know, from here on out, you'll have no excuse not to recognize Congressman Bob whenever we have him on. So, listen close, and that way you'll know in the future whenever you hear Congressman Bob, you know exactly who it is you're listening to.
Ladies and gentlemen, and my fellow constituents, we in Congress have a group of people who believe that it's wrong to spend your money. I assure you, I am not one of them. Please, send more money. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Thank you. And God bless America.
And that was Congressman Bob, our newest character slash bit. And you'll be hearing more from Congressman Bob as the year goes by. Lucky for us, 2008 is an election year and presented an opportunity that we could not pass up. Now, if anything offended you tonight, we apologize. Although, hey, get over it. Look on the internet. There are a lot of other sites that are a lot more abusive than politicians than we are. So if you think we're bad, you know, there are sites that are a whole lot worse about what we do. And on that note, we're going to wrap things up for the night. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a little fun. Join us tomorrow night, especially. Tomorrow night is the Goofy Ass Award Show. So you're going to get a chance to find out who the Magic Quarter says is the ultimate winner. I'll give you a quick rundown. Again, these are in no particular order. Top of the list is Billy Zane and his fiancée, Kelly Brook. Second in line is Carrie Katona, someone who, personally, I have no idea who they are. Third on the list is the Spice Girls. For some reason, they got back together. I couldn't even begin to tell you why. Next on the list is Chris Langham, a comedian slash pedophile, and Alessandro D'Annunzio, the individual who reportedly bedded down with Lindsay Lohan and I'm sure is now looking for a good doctor. Okay, everyone, you have a good evening. Thanks for joining us, and join us tomorrow night for the Goofy Ass Award. Have a safe evening.
The Vast Wasteland is heard on Shoutcast Radio and by podcast. Our listener line is 702-446-4192. You can reach us at The Vast Wasteland www.bodomatic.com, as well as The Vast Wasteland at bodomatic.com. Have a good evening.